I didn't sign up for this. Wait, what's going on here? I thought there was donuts at this event. What am I doing walking here? Exactly. Where are the donuts they were talking about? But anyway, exactly. I thought there's free food at this event. How come I'm walking? Oh, that's not good. Anyway, hallelujah. Well, tonight, got some pretty awesome things going on. But also, we are going to get into the Word. And we're going to talk about faith-filled prayer. I want to start with Matthew chapter 6 and just some really good encouraging scriptures tonight in regards to, you know, what it is that we're going to talk about. Matthew chapter 6, and there's just a lot of weird stuff going on in the world, and people can get in fear and anxiety, and Jesus kind of speaks to these things. And if we look at, actually I'm going to look at in the different translation, but Matthew chapter 6. This place empties out when the kids leave, isn't it? Boy, they're just a bunch of those little critters. Oh, I love it. Matthew chapter 6. I don't use this translation too much, but I really like it. Verse 25. And Jesus goes on and he says here, "For this reason I say unto you, do not be worried about your life." Oh my, it's pretty easy, isn't it?
Yeah.
To get all upset, worried about your life and what's going on and, you know, what am I going to do? Then he goes on here and he says, "As to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on, is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they?" I want to stop here for a moment because, you know, often when we look at some of these scriptures, we think of, you know, casting off worry. And, you know, the Lord, you know, the Word talks about casting your cares on Him because He cares for you. You know, that we're supposed to get rid of that. But I think one of the interesting things, there's multiple things that we can see here in the Scripture. First of all, we can see we need to get rid of anxiety and worry. And the second one is, He talks about our value. Right? Too much of the world, we're just a hunk of meat. Right? We can just be disposed of. We can be getting rid of. We can just do this. We can do this. God doesn't think of us that way. And if we have a more of a revelation of our value in Him, now if we have value in ourselves, that's called pride and that's arrogance. But when we see our value in Him, the way He sees us, then we brings us the value. But then we see verse 27, "And who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life?" I had family members that they just worry about everything. I mean, they would just, you know, I remember Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, talking about his mom. His grandma just talking about she's a champion warrior, you know. It doesn't get you anywhere, right? It's like a washing machine. It works real hard, but it doesn't go anywhere, right? It just doesn't. I mean, you're, there's a lot of motion going on, and there's a lot of tension, a lot of things, but it doesn't do anything for you. And in fact, you know, we look at scientific studies, it actually hurts you instead of helps. Then it goes on here, verse 29. Or verse 28, "And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how..." I need to tell my kids that too. It's like, don't worry about your clothing, right? You know? Yeah. It's like, but Dad, I've been wearing the same clothes for how many years now? And no, that doesn't go over very well, does it? That's right. Yeah. And so, worrying about clothes, and then you're, you know, observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil, they don't spin. Yet I say to you, not even as Solomon in all of his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God clothed the grass of the fields, which are alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Ooh. "Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing?" Let's just stop here for a minute. Like, you know, I remember some of the things 5-10 years ago that really bothered me. I don't even care about anymore. You ever notice that? You know, I can't even remember what I ate yesterday, let alone, you know, but it's just, it's all perspective, isn't it? And I always talk about these things like eternal perspective, right? The things that are going to bug you today, bother you today, I would say a week from now, a year from now, you're not going to remember, right? You're going to remember, oh, well, you know, October, blah, 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 2025, I was really wound up about this. You're not going to worry. You're not going to care. But we get hung up in the now, right? Everything is happening now. What's happening? What's going to happen now? In verse 31, do not worry then, saying, well, I'll eat, well, I'll drink, or what will I wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. I never go to God, you know, in the past, go, I'm believing for this, I need this. He knows the water bill needs to be paid, right? He's not shocked in any of these things about like, oh my goodness, Jesus, what are we going to do? You know, their kids need school clothes, right? Or, you know, they need food. He's aware of all of these things. And he goes on and he says, but, verse 33, but seek first his kingdom. Or the King James says, seek ye first the kingdom. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be what? Added unto you. What does it, now, we always think, seek ye first, like we gotta go after the, like it's this task or anything. But what does it mean? It really just means our reliance is on him. Because that's really what faith is. It's just, we're resting in him. We're believing, we're, you know, at the end of the night, we're resting in him to go, you know what? I don't know how. And I always like to say this too, you know, people, kind of that line between works and faith. But, you know, the whole thing of it is, I can't save myself. I can't create air to breathe. I can't do any of those things. There's just things that I have to do and trust God. It's going to be provided. You know, I can't create water. Nobody could create anything. It's just God that creates everything. So I have to rest in him. You know what? I'm going to have these things. So it's really a matter of, we look here at the beginning, casting off concern, casting off care. Also, see the value that we are to God. The devil wants to come along and say, you're worth nothing. You know, you can't do anything. You can't do this. There's either one of two extremes. He either tries to blow us up like we're just the greatest thing since peanut butter and we're, you know, the most amazing thing, or he tries to push us down that we're dirt. But guess what? We are extremely valuable to him. And we view our, you know, how can I say, our view ourselves through the lens of him. That's what we call righteousness. Righteousness is he has positioned us correctly with him. It's not something that we do. And so we see here, cast off that care, begin to have a correct self-assessment of yourself. I was coaching like softball this year, you know, little girls and stuff, you know, and I had some girls that, they had an inaccurate self-assessment of themselves, right? You know, they thought that they were the next, I don't know, using names like, you know, Nolan Ryan or the great pitcher. And it's like, okay, you realize the batter's here and you threw the ball over there, right? I mean, we don't have an accurate self-assessment of ourselves, right? We need to have an accurate self-assessment of ourselves to say, you know what? We are the righteousness of Christ. Amen? In Romans, we are the joint heirs with Christ. That means everything that Christ has gotten and paid for at the cross, it belongs to us. We can walk in it if we choose to. I don't have to be depressed. I don't have to be, you know, busted and disgusted because the world is. No. That doesn't have to be me. I can trust in him. Proverbs 3. Oh, let's just get some of these great scriptures out of the way. Proverbs 3. I always like to think of Proverbs as, you always take the Bible, split it in half, and there's Psalms and Proverbs right there smacked out in the middle of your Bible. If you don't have like a big, you know, study Bible that, you know, has a bunch of stuff at the end, you know, 32,000 maps at the end of it and, you know, every other thing. So pretty much you just take your Bible, go right in the middle, and you're going to be real close. So get you right in the real estate there somewhere. And Proverbs chapter 3. I love the scripture. I love all the scriptures, but I love Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. I have figured out, I know this is absolutely the craziest revelation ever, but God's smarter than me. And Adrian will go, amen, right? And my kids will say, amen. Everybody in my house will go, amen. But it's true. You know, I can't limit myself to what I see. I remember if you're like, believe everything you watch on TV. No, right? It's just, you watch TV and like, mm-mm. There's probably wrong information on TV, right? I mean, you know, I used to watch, as a kid, Spider-Man and Superman and all that stuff. You know, well, that's not reality. Right? Get the cape on and run around, you know, the house. And look at me. No. It's just a false sense of reality, wasn't it? Again, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean unto your own understanding. Here we go. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Now, it's not about your ability to do things. What it means is this, I don't have the answers, God, but you do. And I'm going to say, I'm coming up to a crossroads. I'm coming up something live. I need this. I'm coming to you, right? Kind of have, we were just talking about some things that, you know, sports and things like that. And we were kind of, one of the kids, which we won't say who it was, but one of the people in our family, I was trying to help him once. They're like, Dad, you just don't know about this. I'm like, well, okay. Go ahead and just strike out then. Go ahead and just do your thing. We'll just sit back and watch, right? You just keep doing your thing, right? And I'm sitting there going, no, the whole time, you know, and then I would coach one and then this other. But anyway, then you see the coach is telling her the same thing I told her. That's interesting. You know what? If you listen, you'd save yourself a lot of trouble, right? Yeah. I mean, when I was a teenager and stuff, my parents were the biggest doodahs ever. But then when I got out of the house, I'm like, oh, they kind of knew something. That's weird. That's amazing. They changed when I got out of the house. But what is it? It's just humbling ourselves before Lord. It's just humbling ourselves and saying, you know what? I don't have all the answers, right? And you know what? Over the years, I've been wrong about things. And it's that constant, that constant, hey, I'm reevaluating myself. I'm learning new things. I'm beginning to have, you know, get into the Word. I'm like, oh, I didn't see that before. Oh, I didn't see that before. Oh, I didn't see that before. And what is it? It's, let's just back up here. If you've got kids, right, okay, your theories about how to parent are way different before you have kids as opposed to after you have kids, right, you know? Before kids, you're like, man, if I have kids, that would never happen. Then it's like 2 o'clock, like midnight, and you're like, just shut up, I want to go to bed. The parenting goes out the window. And you know what? You're just into peace and quiet at that point, right? You'll learn. But what does that mean? It just simply means that as you go through life, you're going to learn new things. And you think you got it all figured out, and it's like, oops, this doesn't work. So things do change, right? You know. So anyway, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean in your understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. Here we go. And he will make your paths straight, right? There are things you, and I was just talking with somebody about, you know, some different things, and we were talking about business things, and he goes, do you have any questions? I said, you know, I don't know what I don't know. You ever come to that before? Where you just come to something and you're just like, I don't know what to do. And God goes, well, I do. I know where to go. I know what to do. I know how to help. And when you begin to open yourself up and walk through some things, that's where people who get in fear often are doing things because they're not open to, or they're locked into something. They're focused on their own ability, right? Because you can't do it in your own ability, right? That's where fear and anxiety gets in, because you're trying to figure it out. Wait a minute. God can bring you to other people. He can bring other people to your path. The Bible talks about in the multitude of counsel there is wisdom, right? You may not know it now, but he's going to help you through the process. Connect with the right people. Do the right things. Matthew chapter 11. We'll kind of close here in a few minutes. I haven't got through the intro. So I'll just close right now. Let's all gather for prayer again. I like that. That's so cool. Exactly. I'm kidding. I get 12 closes. And so anyway. So the reason why we actually have pizza tonight is because you're going to be here a while. Okay. I'm kidding. Ooh, what I get myself into. I'm kidding. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 22. And it is, Jesus answered, says, have faith in God. Do you know what? God is good. He's faithful. He wants good things for us. And he wants to connect with you. And everything around the word, everything around God is relationship. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, what happened to them? They sinned, and he still, and it says he showed up in the cool of the day. God still showed up to hang out when they missed the mark. He's into connection. He's into relationship, right? Theology is about God, looking at God from a distance. Relationship is connecting to him. And so it's very important, you know, people, theology, you know. I like theology, but it's like, it doesn't, I learn about someone. I feel like I'm reading about, you know, Abraham Lincoln, or I'm reading about this historic figure. But when we come and look at the lens through the Word of God as a relationship, it definitely does change. Verse 22, and Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. Now, this is such an intro. I'm sorry, Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, verse 22. Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22. See, I'm testing you because you turned there, didn't you? So I'm kidding. Let's give him my new thing from now on. Guys, we should come up here and pray right now. We need some more prayer up here. Mark 11, 22. Sorry. And Jesus said, have faith in God. Now, faith in God, it's just not. But what is it? It's a resting, right? It's a resting. How can we have, the only reason we have faith in someone is because we know them. Right? Normally, you know, we're done with church and then we go to eat, not tonight, but tonight, you know, sometimes we go out to eat and everything. Do not have faith in people sitting around me to pay my meal because they don't know me. Right? When we go out to eat, if my kids are with us, the other night we ate alone. It was awesome. It was like we sat down and we got what we wanted, and then we were all done. We just walked up, got up and left, and it was like, and the bill was cheaper, and it was like clouds were parting, and it was just, it's just amazing experience. But we got to eat. It's like the kids, they know me. It's like what? They just order, right? They don't ask, well, is Dad going to pay? Is Mom going to pay? Are they going to do this? No, it's just something that, because they know me, it's going to be provided. It's going to be taken care of. And so, have faith in God. It's a faith is not just, yes, I know this. It's an understanding. But it goes deeper than that, where now I not only just say, yes, I believe in God, but it comes into the fact where it's like, wait, he's a good father. He's providing for me. He loves me. He values me more than, you know, we just read there, in Matthew chapter 6, about how much he loves us and values us so much more over his other creation. And then he goes on, he says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast in the sea, and shall not die in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he will what? Have whatever he says. You know, I think when we're talking about faith, and we're, you know, when I was in Bible college, a lot of it was focused on saying it. You know, we got to say it. And, and I understand that. Really, if we look at this in a different aspect here, first of all, the mountain is going to be anything you need to be moved in your life, right? Things, your challenges, whatever. But he goes on here and he says, but shall believe those things in our heart and shall it come to pass. You shall have what? Whatever you say. This all goes back up to verse 22, which means have faith in God, right? It all starts, that's where Jesus, the preface is, just have faith in God. And it's his character. We complicate things too much, I believe. You know, we get in theology and everything, we got to say this and we got to say this and we got to say this, we got to say this. What does it mean? If it comes from a position of we just trust God, it's going to come out of our mouth, right? Yeah. I mean, I know, like Monday morning, I'm going to hear about football, right, from the other guys that I've worked with, you know? Why? Because it's in their heart. It just, boop, you know? Oh, you see the Giants? They did, the Jets, they lost again, blah, 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 right? There's no, I got to think about this. If it's just, it's in me and it comes out. Yeah. That's it. We can overcomplicate things and, oh, did I say this right? Did I say this right? Years ago, people, oh, did I say this right? Did I say this right? Wait a minute here. How do you talk to someone? You don't walk up to somebody and say, hey, have a conversation. Did I say that right? The conversation won't last very long if you do that, because you're weird and this is strange. But God is a person. And as we communicate with him, it's number one, have faith in God. And then we see here also, too, that we believe in him as a person. Him as a person. Do you know the Bible is given to us to connect with the Lord, not to worship. We worship a person. This helps us. It's a roadmap to get to him, the person, right? I mean, people aren't floating around on Bibles in heaven. They're not floating around on Bibles. I'll tell you that right now. Now, the word is forever, but it's something that we use to renew our minds to be able to connect with him. So we move on here. It says, therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, you shall have them. It's not because of everything great you did, but we have those things is because of God's heart for us, and it's because he wants us to have those things, because he's a good God, and we just rest in him. You know, it's so crazy because years ago, we were practicing earlier up here, and, you know, the music earlier, and then all of a sudden I remember you know, seeing myself when I played years ago in bars and, you know, other places and just doing these things. And I remember I left that, rededicated myself back to the Lord, and I thought, just almost like worried about, like, what am I going to do? You know, I don't want to do this anymore. I want to live for God. And you know what? God opens up doors, right? Here I was all, you know, anxious about, well, I have to go back into that. If I want to do this for God, you know, if I want to do this, then I have to go back into the world and nobody's doing this and blah, blah, blah. And you know what? I just began to rest and things began to just develop. Like, I played for churches, you know. When I went to Rhema, I played for their band. Just all kinds of doors opened up. Why? Because I rested in him right here. Things to desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have them. It's a resting in him that things look like, you know what, I don't know how God's going to do this, but he's going to open up doors for you often if we're going to believe and walk with him. And then he talks about verse 26, verse 25, when you pray, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And then in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, so many times I see so many people, they're so focused on saying rather than having the understanding that it's a heart issue with God. We're going to have faith in a person, We are going to rest in Him. We're going to have faith that He has ability, right? Because whatever we do say, He's going to help us. We're also, we can have those things we desire. But then also, too, it goes back to a heart issue that He wants us to walk in forgiveness with people. You see how our connection or our walk with Him is all about having a heart to Him and also, too, being able to forgive other people. God wants our hearts. I can say, not much in, you know, I'll just say this. When I got born again and I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and everything else too, it was like my whole learning capacity really changed supernaturally because, you know, I didn't like school, wasn't really that great at it. And then all of a sudden when I started getting into the Word and began to pray and do things like that, my comprehension just took off, right? It's because God helped me with those things. There'll be times like, God, help me. I need help doing schoolwork. I need help doing things. You know what? He'd show up and He was faithful. You know? I didn't grow up in a scholarly household. I didn't, you know, that wasn't me at all. But He helps me when I cried out to Him. Hebrews 11:1. Adrian and I, while you're turning there, Adrian and I, we were in Tulsa, we were going to Bible college, and we worked in a call center, and we'd have these scripted calls, you know, what people would call in, and these ministries and all this. It was just a bunch of ministries, and we would have to read these prayers, and people call in for things, you know, and, you know, what have you, but, and people out there really do need prayer, but, you know, and of course, just like tonight, we pray for people, and we're here to stand for people. But you know why a lot of those people call into those places? Because they don't believe God hears them. That's their problem, I believe. And of course, we want to pray for people, and those places are good, and then they do see people that are, you know, get delivered. They have help, and I'm all for it. I definitely believe for, you know, praying for people and the ministry there, we prayed for people, and I was in prayer school a lot and everything else too. So I definitely believe in praying for people, but I do see people that, again, and it all goes back to they don't believe God hears them or wants to do it, but He'll listen to you, which is kind of a sad place to be, right? Yeah. You know, it's kind of a really, you know, heartbreaking place to go that, well, God doesn't really want to listen to me, isn't really not interested in me, but we'll kind of sneak it in through you. Is that okay? We'll go to the back door. And God doesn't want that at all. The Lord doesn't. Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? Those people that will say things like, well, I'll just believe it when I see it. Well, why? You don't need faith then, right? I mean, if it's already there, why do you need to, right? But our whole life is about not knowing what's around the corner. I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, right? Especially in this environment and all this weird stuff going on in the world. It's like, I have no idea what's going to happen tomorrow, right? But God does. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Again, it goes back to relationship, doesn't it? Pleasing Him. Connecting with Him, right? And again, we're made in His image. We see that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 20, 27 and 28, it says what? That He made man in His own image, after His own likeness. He created him. And so, everything that we feel is what God feels. And I'm not, I don't think He's, you know, in heaven full of anxiety and, you know. But what it means is, you know, He is a God of love. We see that Paul told Timothy that God is love. We see that, you know, He gets angry and there's emotions that He goes through, too. (Clears throat)
But he also wants to be our Father. That's right. Amen. And without faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. Right? It's hard to pray to somebody you don't believe, right? I can't pick up my phone and call my grandmother. She's been dead since 1982, right? That's not going to happen. You know, if I called her, like, you know, Adrian came in the other room and I'm just like, who are you talking to? Oh, my grandma. She's on the phone. She's not here now. How many people that they, you know, and I've never met anybody on their deathbed yet that's an atheist. Never have. Everybody I've prayed for on their deathbed, they're not an atheist. God is real at that time, okay? On their way out. But we can't pray to someone. So first of all, it sounds kind of elementary and it sounds kind of silly. But first of all, if we're going to believe in God, we got to believe that he is. Right? How many people, you know, oh, the great spirit, the great, the wind, the this, the that. No, he's Father God. He's a real entity. He's a real person, and he loves us. Then it goes on here, and it says, please, for he that comes to him must believe that he is. And what? He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So what does that say? That he's a good person, that he's a good God. He's a rewarder. Right? What do we got? Halloween coming up here, right? I remember, yes, I used to do Halloween when I was a kid, you know? And then you go up there and you're knocking on the door, what? You're believing that somebody's going to be a rewarder of me that's seeking you because I want candy, right? And then you get those folks that, you know, what are they making? Popcorn balls and all kinds of other crazy stuff. And you're like, what? Just give me candy. That's all I want, right? Yeah, it's like, you know, they're giving you like cans of green beans and stuff. It's like, no. But God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, right? If you knock on that door, he wants to give you good things, right? It's a resting in him and it's understanding his character and who he is. And Jesus just talks about it. He's like, you know, if a good father, he's not going to give you a snake if you ask for bread. He's not, you know, he's not going to give you a stone for bread. He's not going to give you this for that. He's going to give you what you need. And you look at the Old Testament, everything that the Hebrews did when they came out of Egypt, God provided everything. Everything. And in fact, he gave them a big old bankroll when they walked out of Egypt, a bunch of gold and a bunch of good stuff at the end of it, right? To kind of give them some retributions on the way out for being slaves. So here we've got God and that he is a reward to those who diligently seek him. And then I like this verse 7, and we'll move on to this. But it says, by faith, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, here we go, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now, Noah wasn't saved. Jesus hadn't died yet. And then they said, what? At that time, he was positioned right, and that's what righteousness is. It is a right positioning with God. Hebrews talks about all kinds of people that were righteous. They weren't born again. I mean, yet, until Jesus came, and they were, eventually they did. First John 5, 14 and 15. Oh. It's amazing how like the service changes with the kids aren't here now doing the services now. It's like, wow. You keep going for 2 hours, another hour or two. That'd be great, yeah. All right. We're going to have food, yeah. Oh, no.
It turns some funky colors. I am feeling better. My knee and wrist are sore. Mm. Really hurt. Better glasses.
Oh, no.
We might want her. She was outside. Oh.
Yeah, she's earlier.
She brought her kid. Oh, yeah. Did you?
I didn't know that. Well, we'll
see. She just now said that. Yeah.
We'll pray for her. Lord, we just thank you for Jakayla, Lord, that there is a, we just thank you that your healing power is flowing into her body, Lord, right now, and that there is recovery in the name of Jesus. We thank you for her, Lord God, and that there is just healing in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. 1 John 5:14 and 15. Sometimes it's just good to go back over these scriptures, you know, about faith and about God. And I remember just sometimes in Bible college and just things I would just, and I've done it before too, where just read scriptures about God's goodness, you know, just how good he is. And just how, you know, and everybody always blames all the bad things on, you know, well, you know, God caused this to happen. God caused this to happen. I'm going to tell you what, the devil and God are not working together, okay? It's like God set everything up, and the devil is we see in John 10:10, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that we have life and more abundantly.
Yes.
And so, you know, if we, just like Mr. Gary's told the kids, he says, big God, little bitty devil, right? I can get that down. And then he also says, you know, not only that, but, you know, there's a, God's good, and the devil's bad. And he goes on here, and this is John. He's writing this, and he says, and this is, verse 14, this is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Anything according to his will, he hears us. What does that go back to? I just said earlier, a lot of people, they don't go to God because they don't think he hears them. Right? Well, I prayed and nothing happened before. Well, was it according to his will? You know, right? I mean, sometimes I believe for things I believe for, it took years to happen. It didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, think about it. You know, if you're like 12 or 13, you're like, God, I'm believing for to get to have a good husband or wife. Well, it's not going to happen for a while, right? I mean, you know, you got to give a little time. Come on, you know? There's just some natural things sometimes at play here. You just got to, God's got to work some things out. And then verse 15, and if we know he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. We know the things that we have. And it all goes back to that relationship, understanding who God is. God is not some dead being or some person in a book, you know, that's thousands of years old. He is alive today, and he wants to commune and connect with man. And if we understand those things, and we don't go to God just to get things. And I think that's the danger too, where, you know, it's like having kids and everything they do is like every day. Well, can I go here? Can I get this? Can I have this? Buy me this. Buy me this. Buy me this. And after a while, it's kind of like, can you say hi? You know, do you remember my name? Right? Do you? It's all about, instead of getting stuff, and that's maturing, because now we don't look at God as a slot machine. You know, that's where some of the things I think has just had some wrong teachings in the past and wrong attitude. Where it's like, well, you've got to do this, and then you do this, and you're going to get prosperous. And it's like, my life is not just to get money all the time and believe God for money and stuff and things and all this stuff. It's people, right? It's people and connecting with him. I always like to say things, you know, like in business or whatever I've done in the past and just things like that too. You take care of people, they'll take care of you. Right? I have people that I've dealt with over the years, and they, like, we first connect or something, I'm like, well, I don't know. And then 30 minutes later, we're best friends. You know? God wants he has our best interests at heart, doesn't he? All the time. I know I seem like a bad parent sometimes because, you know, I don't let my kids eat candy all the time. Seems good, right? Tastes good. It's gonna be great, and then, you know,
Brian over here has got to fix their teeth because they're all sugary and everything else too, right? Dr. Ansel over here has got to fix people's teeth and stuff, right? So it may look good, but it's better for you to have balance in life. And so 1 John, just read a few scriptures as we close here. Psalms 4, 5 says, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and what? Put your trust in the Lord. Put your trust in the Lord. How many times in the Bible does everything we see that any person that has done anything great for God, usually the situation, the way the outcome comes is not based on what they saw, right? Now think about it. We got the Hebrews and the Philistines. You got this big ugly dude named Goliath, and you got this little skinny kid that goes up with a slingshot and throws a rock and hits him in the head and kills him. That does not make sense, but that's God's plan. And there weren't like a lot of people that were killed that day. You know, I mean, they don't have this big war. Just those two and they're done. Well, then they did chase him, right? God getting Moses and the Hebrews to the Red Sea. That does not make sense. That's a dead end. God, what are you doing? What's happening here? And everything. And then he splits the Red Sea. And then he uses that to destroy the Egyptian army. That does not make sense. A donkey talking. That does not make sense. Floating axe heads. That does not make sense. But God defies the laws of physics, though. That's cool. Actually, one of the scriptures here, there's a Hebrew scholar, and we just said Mark 11:22. I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about one thing. It says in here, it says if he... And it says here, he'll have, give us in verse 23, it's talking about, believe those things that he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. And he says, actually, in the Greek, when you break that down, it says, if I don't have it, I'll create it. God will create things, make things happen, change things around to make things right. I mean, he made the sun stand still for a day. When Joshua was at war, right? I mean, he can do anything. But he can't pay my water bill. He can't help me with this, right? I remember Kenneth Hagin talking about shoes one time when they're all praising God one time about in church. And, oh, I can move mountains. And this guy was, you know, singing and dancing. They're all just really happy in church. And then they got in the car. And his wife told him that his son or their son needed shoes. And she goes, what, am I made of money? And he just started freaking out, right? He can move mountains, but you trip over a pair of kids' shoes. So anyway, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, we thank you. I'll just close there. Tonight, we thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy, Lord Jesus. We can trust in you when the world comes apart at the seams. Jesus, you're still good. You still give us peace, which is part of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness. All of it is just, Lord, we thank you for your peace tonight. And Father, we just glorify you. We thank you for all you continue to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So what I'm going to do, let me pray over the food. It's going to be here. But let me pray over the food so that when they come, you all can help yourselves and everyone's welcome. And we got more food here. Father, we thank you for the food tonight as it's coming. It's blessed, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Linda, Lord Jesus, and celebrate with her that there are a new chapter of her life full of peace and joy and just rest in you, Lord Jesus. And we celebrate her life and just have joy that she's starting this new chapter. There's great things happening ahead for her, and we celebrate her victories in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah.